Yes.
A right to health is an objective. It can't be a reality.
Well, we have similar things. We have different words, but here in the United States, for instance, in the Pledge of Allegiance, we say one nation under God, they say, and says with liberty and justice for all. But I think everybody knows we don't really have liberty and justice for all, certainly not equal justice, but we say it. So I guess that's similar. Those numbers to call in again here are 877-NOBODY8, 877-662-6398, or 866-LEFT-OUT. We have on the line Sean from Seneca Falls. Sean from Seneca Falls, welcome to the Homelessness Marathon.
Hi, Nobody. I hope you don't mind me.
Not a bit. Let's. What's on your mind?
Well, it occurs to me that we had a fairly decent, close to fairly decent welfare in this country back when there was a Soviet Union. And I had always heard that that was kind of due to the influence of the existence of the Soviet Union, sort of a counterbalance. If things weren't too bad here for the poor people, it wouldn't look so good in the Soviet Union. So I was thinking maybe France should become a superpower, and then they could influence our culture just a little bit.
Let me put that to Mark. Mark, did you hear that?
I didn't hear very well, sorry.
I guess it's hard for the two lines to mesh. I'm not sure why, but we are talking to France after all. Sean is saying that maybe when there was the Soviet Union, our social policies were more generous here because we were competing with them. And he's saying maybe we would start being more generous here again if France would become a superpower. What do you think of that?
That's a very liberal perspective. Maybe the competition is a stimulation. I don't know. I don't know where does the stimulation come from. I think in France it comes from we are not very curious about the foreign countries, and I'm not sure, unfortunately, there is a huge competition in social models. Maybe there was an influence, but I think also there was a different culture in the second part of the 20th century with the New Deal policies and these Keynesian policies and so on. And I think now we have a lack of model, and the state is a little bit lost, and the question of taxes and so on, the legitimacy of the taxes came in every election, and everybody wants to decrease taxes and so on. So I think we are, I don't know if it's it was a question of competition with the Soviet Union or if it was just an internal culture. I'm not close enough to United States.
I'm not sure myself, but Sean, I think if we're going to have a competitor, maybe we should make Sweden or Switzerland or Denmark a superpower because they've got much more liberal policies even than France does.
That would be great. Another question, a little less humorous.
Oh, you were kidding about that? You don't really want France to be a superpower?
No, well, I was half kidding.
I think we're going to get China, by the way. It's not going to be France. It's going to be China. But go ahead. They've got worse policies.
And why do you think policies are turning in the direction that they're turning in as economically now? I do think that the influence of competition with China and their really bad situation over there means that American politicians don't feel any pressure over here.
Well, wait a minute, Sean. It's not really competition with China because we created China in a way. I mean, we didn't create the Chinese state, but we shipped all of our industry over there and we passed the laws under Clinton, of course.
That's true.
That made it possible. We set them up and we set them up in business so they could compete with us.
And now they have a rising homelessness rate and a rising lack of access to health care rate, just like here. Back to France, Madame Royale was spun in the media in this country as wanting to try to introduce the dismantling of the French welfare state. I would like to know from your guest how accurate that is and what her designs for the future of the French welfare state would be.
I couldn't quite hear that. You're talking about Ségolène Royal?
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, the numbers here to call in are 877-NOBODY-8 or 866-LEFT-OUT. Now, Mark, what the question was, I know you can't hear, is that the caller, Sean, believes that Ségolène Royal wants to dismantle the French welfare state, and he wants to know if that is true.
We don't know exactly. We don't understand. It's a very communicative campaign, so nobody understands very well, well what will come up. And we have many declarations in the campaigns, and then after the elections, we know that we have big trade unions and so on to deal with, and the system doesn't move so fast. Sometimes not fast enough, and sometimes it's a good protection, but it doesn't move so fast. But we don't know. Actually, it's true that maybe we are part of the European Union now, and we have to deal with the major culture in European Union, and the major culture is makes a smaller place to the state and to the social system in different countries than in France. So we have to deal with this influence, and we have to respect, for example, fair trade rules in France in sectors that were historically state monopoly, like, for example, energy, which is very important in terms of creating homelessness, because energy becomes very expensive now that it is a free market system. So people have debts in their rents, are evicted, and become homeless. And we are in this system also.
Sean, I want to thank you very much for calling in, and a pleasure speaking to you again here on the Homelessness Marathon. What would be more appropriate when we're talking about France than to insert a few minutes of a discussion about France's historic rival, England? And on the line I have Jack Tafare, who, while a citizen of the world, is a Native American and was one of the founders of Dignity Village, the tent city in Portland, Oregon. And now Jack is living in London, where he's doing his very best to make trouble there as well. Jack, welcome to the Homelessness Marathon.
Hi, Jeremy. It's nice to talk to you again.
It's nice to talk with you. Of course, you were on the marathon, the fifth marathon, when we were in Portland. Now, you are trying to help organize the poor people of England. I guess you're trying to help to set up a tent city there. Can you give us some perspective on how poverty in England is different from poverty in the United States?
Well, first of all, in England, there's the greater safety net, this greater welfare system here. It's not really thought of as welfare. It's not something you have to hang your head and be ashamed about to go and collect. It's called your entitlement. And you're entitled to, for example, a certain amount of money to live. There's a legal limit. You know, you have to have this amount of money to live on per week.
Mm-hmm.
So mine, personally, is it's £115 a week. And then I have all sorts of other benefits, too. Like I have a freedom pass, a bus pass, that because of my age, because I'm now 60 years old, so I have a pension. And I haven't been in this country that long, but already I have a pension. I have a freedom pass. I can get around, free buses, trains.
We had people on the show, Americans, talking about they can't get to doctor's appointments when they need medical help because they can't get on the bus. So that is a problem you would not have in England.
No, not so. We have that problem. A problem I have been having is I've been setting up my appointments for 9:15 in the morning, and the Freedom Pass isn't good. It's off-peak hours, so it's 9:30 before it's any good.
Oh, so it's not a panacea.
It's not a panacea, but it's much better.
Okay.
Much better, because with the money that I get, dole money, I'm able to afford a bus ticket on that day.
And you get this stipend from the English government, even though you're not English, and...
Well, no, I'd have to qualify that.
Uh-huh.
I have dual nationality.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
I've got American nationality and British. I'm a British subject. And
okay.
I'm an American citizen. So I have both of those
All right.
categories. But what I found in the United States, I didn't meet the criteria for a lot of benefits there, because I'm what you would call a sturdy beggar. I have like my limbs and all my parts and all my faculties, and I don't really have issues with drugs or alcohol or anything like that. So therefore, I was more or less disentitled to any kind of benefits. So I found myself in the United States living in a doorway, for a long period of time, and found it very difficult to get out of that doorway. And the only way that could be done at that time was to form up a tent city and to house ourselves that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the very slim nature of the benefits, in the States. The benefits are much more, there are more benefits here. There are day centers where people can go. There's showers, there's meals that are inexpensive. There's clothing that you can get that's inexpensive. So a lot of those things are taken care of. There's another thing that's very different in England than in the United States. We're allowed to squat here, for example. There's a huge bureaucracy that deals with these things, the social welfare system. And the bureaucracy is often very slow in getting people housed. And so people find themselves sort of relegated to, if they somehow slip through the cracks in the system, they find themselves relegated to living outdoors. And often that seems to be for an unconscionable time, 6 months or so,
mm-hmm.
9 months,
yep.
Before you get into the system and, they start putting you in hostels, and then you go through a thing. It takes a couple of years in hostels waiting on a housing list to get into the social housing here.
I see. We have a caller on the line. Let me give out those numbers, 877-NOBODY-8 or 866-LEFT-OUT. Bob from Fresno, do you have any questions about either France or England?
Well, hello. How you doing, sir?
Just fine, thanks.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for actually taking time to do this.
My pleasure.
And I'm not sure if I saw you on the news today.
You did, probably. We were all over the news here in Fresno. But Bob, do you have a question about or comment about France, about England, about social welfare policy?
Well, I appreciate the last caller's comment. I love the gospel word. And what I'm doing right now is, well, put it this way. I became homeless after one major company, a boat company, left their ad out in a correct spot for the past 6 years, and now I find myself homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really tough.
And are you able to access any benefits in this country? Let's use your case as an example, because we can compare it to France and England. So you lost your job, is that what happened? I can't quite hear your phone.
I owned the company.
You owned the company?
Right.
And it went out of business?
Because of a major boat company who decided not to place, well, not decided, they accidentally put her ads in the wrong spot for the past 6 years.
Okay.
And that means, all the people I had hired, or I've hired, all the college scholarships we were giving out was extinguished, and now I find myself homeless myself.
Okay.
I still believe in the company. We did technology. So I'm just wondering, is there anything we can do in technology to help the homeless people out now, too?
Well, I hate to say it, Bob. It's very hard for me to hear your comments on the phone. But
okay, I'm sorry. Is that better?
Maybe a little better. Let me ask you, have you gone to the Department of Social Services or whatever you have in Fresno and asked them for help?
I have tried, but they don't want to help a business person out. As all of a sudden, they think it's bad business. They think that, hey, this person made a mistake. However, it's not a mistake of our own choosing. This is placed upon us because somebody put the ad in the wrong spot.
Okay, let me ask Mark. Mark, I know you can't hear this, but we're talking to somebody here who ran a business, and he became, I'm not sure I can hear it well enough, but whatever, his business lost money, he went bankrupt because of some problems. and he's trying to get help, and he's being told that there's really no kind of help for him. What would happen in France if a business person who went bankrupt or whatever went to the social welfare system and said, I was doing okay, and now I'm not, and now I need help? What would they say to him?
Unfortunately, he will find not very much support because he took many responsibilities, so he's responsible for his situation. And that problem in France is the social system is like it's like ice, you know. When you are over, it's a good protection, but when you are under, you can escape from that. It's like a trap. So when you are not in the good categories of social protection, you are not helped at all, and you are forbidden to help yourself as well. It's impossible. You're not allowed to build your own home or to live in a caravan. So you have to be in the good categories. Otherwise, you are not considered at all and somehow forbidden to live.
That's not actually so different from the United States. Those numbers, again, are 877-NOBODY-8 or 866.
Can I add one thing to it?
Left out. Jack.
Can I add one more thing to it, please?
Well, I wanted to get Jack to respond to what you said. Jack?
No, I want to add one more thing to it.
Okay.
We also apply 20% of, you know, to help the homeless shelters.
Yeah.
Of our income. And now that is gone as well.
Well, that's a shame. Well, Bob, let me thank you. I wish the connection was a little better. Let me thank you for the call.
But I'd love to hear from Jack, though.
I want to hear from Jack, too, but listen on the radio. But thank you very much for the call. Jack, if someone was a businessman in England whose business went south for whatever reason, his fault, not his fault, who cares, but he all of a sudden lost his livelihood and became homeless and he went to the social welfare office in England, what help would he get?
Well, then he'd be able to rely to the degree that everyone else can rely on the social services, on the safety net, I suppose. It's different here. We have different rights than you have in America.
Mm-hmm.
Over there, you have your vaunted free speech, and you have the right to own and bear arms. But over here, there tends to be more of a right to housing and to your health. And mm-hmm. those are a couple of things that you don't really have. You have your insurance-based system over there. You have things, you have George Bush saying, you know, 40 million Americans are uninsured and don't have any kind of health coverage whatsoever because they choose that. You know, it's kind of like poverty, hands in the air, anyone for poverty, you know, put your hands up. It's kind of like that. Over here, that sounds kind of crazy. That sounds kind of, that sounds like really off the wall.
Mm-hmm.
People choosing poverty. But that's what your president has said.
Well, I think there's, in Fresno and elsewhere, there's a lot of sentiment that people choose the life on the streets. And for some reason, we have more of them doing that in the United States than any place else, just about in the industrialized world.
But over here, I think you would get, you would tend to get more help. They'd look at it. And you'd have to meet certain criteria. And then you could get, the basic help that you need.
Now, I should point out to people that neither France nor England are considered ideal in the social welfare category, where there are many countries that do better than either one. The numbers to call in again, 877-NOBODY-8 or 866-LEFT-OUT. Jack, when you are in England and you look at France, do you think, do the English think that France has a better or a worse system than they do?
It's really hard to compare. I don't really have much experience of that system. I tried to get some assistance in the United States and found that impossible. Because of, you know, things like my age. I was 50 then. You know, I'm 60 now. That makes a difference here.
Okay.
If you're older, you're considered in a more vulnerable category. But
I'm 57. You know. I'm feeling plenty vulnerable, let me tell you. I know the feeling, never mind what the state says about it. Those numbers to call in again are 877-NOBODY-8 or 866-LEFT-OUT. We have Michael from Boston on the line. Michael, welcome to the Homelessness Marathon.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine, actually.
Okay, yeah. I work with the homeless in Boston. I work for the city of Boston. Has a pretty good safety net for the homeless.
one of the better ones in the country. Anyway,
yes.
I want to make a comment about France and the UK.
Yes.
That perhaps they have more money for social services because they don't spend as much money on militarism.
Well, that's an interesting point. Hang on. Let me ask Mark about that. Mark, the caller is suggesting that maybe you have more money in France for social services, health care, and other things because you don't spend so much money on the military as the United States. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, I know that the growth of the military budget in the United States last year was the equivalent of the whole French army. So, of course, we don't have the same spend. And the public spend for housing, for social housing, is about 2% of the national growth products. So that has in France.
Is there a strong anti-militarist sentiment in France, or what is it that keeps France from just having an eternal arms race, so to speak?
Oh, we are so weak and we lose any war we are involved in, so we are not very passionate by armies.
I see. Jack, do you want to comment on this, respond to Michael?
Well, yeah, it does seem that the U.S. Spends more of its money towards, you know, military adventures in different countries, you know, Afghanistan and Iraq, and now it looks like it's moving over to Iran. You know, the you know, different things are going to attack. If Iran doesn't slow down its nuclear enrichment programs, you know, you can have sort of one or the other, basically.
Yeah, nobody.
Michael, go ahead.
Dr. Martin Luther King said during the 1960s, that the Vietnam War decimated the war on poverty that LBJ had started and that President Johnson had started. Same way that the drain on the budget now from the war in Iraq, which is costing $2 billion a week of our tax money, a billion is $1,000 million, you know, it's a lot of money. And $2 million a week is housing a lot of homeless people and feed a lot of people. If we could solve our homeless issues in this country and our social welfare issues, if we didn't have such an inflated military budget. And by the way, I want to tell the gentleman from France, what's his name?
Mark, although I don't think he can hear you, but go ahead.
Okay, well,
yes, I can.
Good.
Lay a message that I eat French fries, not freedom fries.
I don't know. Do you know what he's referring to, Mark?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
I'm glad to eat French fries.
Pommes frites.
I think that's very true, this comparison with military budgets. And that's why we say we are in war against homelessness, because if you are able to find money for a war which was not organized, which was not attended, it means there are possibilities to put more money in the protection system.
Michael, I want to thank you very much for the call.
Thank you, Nobody. You're doing a good job.
Thank you. Those numbers to call in are 877-NOBODY-8 or 866-LEFT-OUT. We have Edgar on the line from Cleveland, Texas. Edgar, welcome to the Homelessness Marathon.
How are y'all doing today? I just want to make a comment about something Jack said a little while ago about 40 million Americans in America choosing poverty. Yeah, you're right. They do choose poverty, but it's because of our social system that they do that. You know, they know that they got a free handout coming, so why go to work?
Well, now, I think Jack was being ironic, but Jack, what would you say to that?
Well, it's interesting over here because what we've got here is an expanding European Economic Union, and some of the older countries that have been in the Union for a longer time, they're called the G8 countries, Germany, France, countries like that. We sort of share social services around. You know, if you're entitled to social services in one country, you can get them in another if you're working in that country and living in that country. What's happening now with the Eastern European countries that are coming in, the A8 countries, they're called Poland, Lithuania, Latvia, those countries, there are more restrictions on receiving benefits for those countries. And the situation we've got in England at the moment is a lot of Eastern Europeans come here. And the Eastern Europeans, it seems that the British have all of the benefits, or the G8 countries have certain social benefits, but these are being denied to people from the A8 countries. So we find that people from the A8 countries, the Eastern European countries, the new members to the EU, we find them, they tend to do more of the work, you know, the kind of crap work, the rubbish work that...
like Mexicans do in the United States.
...would do here, but those jobs are unattractive to people who have benefits, because why go out and, you know, clean toilets and empty trash when Eastern Europeans, they're hungry. They're hungry to do it. What's happening is in England is the gate, the immigration gate's been opened pretty wide. And what that does is it attracts a lot of people from the East, Eastern European countries, new members to the EEC. And what happens there is that wages are lowered. Construction wages have halved in some places because Polish people are hungry. And they don't receive the benefits, at least right away. They have to work for a year before they're entitled. And so what we have is it's good for business. You know, wages are down, profits are up. But that's what we see. That's what we're seeing in England.
Well, that's very interesting. That's similar to what we see with undocumented workers
in
here.
In particular, it's very multicultural. There are 300 languages.
Jack, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Jack?
You're cutting out a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're almost out of time. Edgar, I want to ask you what you think of homeless people. Do you think they're on the streets by choice?
Not all of them. There's a lot of people out there with disabilities and mental health problems. My father has mental health problems himself. He actually lives in my home. I help support my father. You know, I'm 24 years old. I'm buying a house, and I work my tail off. I've been dropped out of high school, and I work hard. You know, I got a lot of respect for, like he was just talking about, people who don't have a lot of choices in life and have to take crap jobs to make it. You know, you got to have respect for those people that do jobs that other people think they're too good for. And, you know, people who are in social, you know, needing help from social services because they don't want to work. You know, these people are taking the jobs that those people could get if they wanted to work, you know, and you just got to give your hand out to those people.
I wish I had more time to talk with you, Edgar, but I do want to say this on behalf of, I'm sure, everybody listening, really, that if you're pitching in there and you're helping out one of your parents and everything, I think we all respect you for that and wish you the very best in your struggle.
Well, I sure appreciate it, sir. Hope y'all have a good one.
You too. Thank you.
Good luck to all those people out there on the street.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I think we just got a minute. I can maybe just take a quick call. Helen from Ithaca, New York. Welcome to the Homelessness Marathon.
Hello.
Hello, Helen. I've just got a minute, so...
Okay. All right. I just wanted to very quickly merci beaucoup to your representative from France, because I went there. I was here at Cornell. I took a leave of absence, had health coverage as a student, was working in Chicago at a university medical center, had coverage. And then once I quit my job and went to France, I had absolutely no health coverage. But the moment I set my foot in France, I was 100% covered for medical and 50% dental. And I felt ashamed that, like, they don't just cover their taxpayers. They think it's a human right to have health coverage. And they cover, you know, anyone who comes there with a visa is automatically covered. And we, you know, it's shameful that we
don't do anything for our own citizens.
Yes.
Thank you very much for the call, Helen.
Okay, thanks.
Jack, I only got a few seconds left, so very quickly, if I just landed in England, would I get health coverage?
It might be difficult because of your nationality, because you're an American. If you're G8, you're okay.
Okay.
You'd be okay, but there's pretty much universal health coverage here.
Very good. I want to thank you very much, Jack, for giving us this update on England, Jack DeFare, and good luck in setting up the tent city in London. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and it was good talking to you, Jeremy.
You too. And, Mark, can you tell us a last thing? What should we understand about the French welfare system? Should Americans think it's paradise?
Yes, probably, but a very far paradise, as usual. No, it's not paradise, but I think it's a growing process, and it's a possible process only if different major countries go in the same way, and mainly United States, the superpower, and we also need you to... enforce your...
Mark, I want to thank you very much. We're out of time, but your English is terrific. Thank you. We'll be back right after this. Thank you so much.
You are listening to the 10th Annual Homelessness Marathon, produced in conjunction with KFCF, Community Radio for Fresno, California. The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily those of the producing or participating organizations or of the originating or affiliated radio stations. To view the webcast of this broadcast, order CDs, or contact the Homelessness Marathon, go to www.homelessnessmarathon.org.